1 Kings chapter 13, Sermon 3, by Paul C. Jung. The False Altar That God Tears Down. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 34. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places, who burn incense on you. And men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, Arrest him! Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, If you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, You shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way, and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, Which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, Saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, Are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, You shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him, so he went back with him, and ate bread in his house, and drank water. Now it happened, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord, Because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. But you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, Eat no bread, and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet Sisam whom he had brought back. When he was gone, lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there, Men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet Sosadam, who had brought him back from the way, heard it, he said, "It is the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his sons, saying, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' So they saddled it. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet Sosadam took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb. And they mourned over him, saying, 'Alas, my brother!' So it was after he had buried him that he spoke to his sons, saying, 'When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones.' For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, will surely come to pass." After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but again he made priests from every class of people for the high places. Whoever wished, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing was the sin of the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. 1 Kings chapter 13 shows how God rebuked the altar of Bethel that Jeroboam had set up. In 1 Kings chapter 12, Jeroboam made golden calves to protect his own kingship and placed them in Bethel and Dan. And he told the people that there was no need to go up to Jerusalem. He regarded the temple and the sacrificial system God had ordained as obstacles to keeping his own kingdom. But the sacrificial system God had ordained was not something a man could change to suit his own circumstances. The sacrificial system of the Old Testament was God's order of salvation, showing how a sinner receives the remission of sin before God. The law of sacrifice, in which a sinner laid his hands on the sacrificial offering to pass on his sins, and the offering shed its blood and was killed, foreshowed that Jesus Christ would take the sins of the world upon himself by receiving baptism from John, and would receive the judgment of sin by shedding his blood on the cross. Therefore, Jeroboam's changing of the law of sacrifice was not a mere adjustment of the form of worship. It was changing at his own will the order of salvation God had ordained to save sinners. 1 Kings chapter 13 is the very scene in which the word of God comes upon this false altar. The king who stood at the false altar, "And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. Jeroboam was standing by the altar of Bethel, burning incense. For a king to burn incense beside the altar was a truly fearful thing before God. God never told a king to do the work of a priest at his own will. The priest had to be raised up in the way God had ordained, and the sacrifices had to be offered within the place, the feasts, and the order God had ordained. But Jeroboam changed every order God had ordained. He replaced God with golden calves, changed the place of worship to Bethel and Dan, made ordinary people who were not of the sons of Levi priests, and even fixed the feasts as he pleased. And now he himself was standing by the altar, burning incense. This was a religion for protecting his own kingship. Jeroboam did not fear God. He feared that if the people went up to Jerusalem, his kingship would be shaken. So he made a faith that did not send people to God but held them fast inside his own kingdom. This same thing can happen today. People can speak the name of Jesus and yet not preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. Rather than leading people to God, they can bind them under their own organization, their own doctrines, and their own honor. To change the way of salvation, God has ordained into a religious form that people find easy to accept. Instead of delivering it as it is the same sin as the altar of Jeroboam. The word of God cried out toward the altar. God sent a man of God from Judah. It was not a man who came by his own thoughts. He came to Bethel by the word of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1. The word of God came upon the false altar man had made. The man of God cried out toward the altar. O altar! Altar! He did not rebuke Jeroboam as an individual only. He proclaimed God's judgment against the false sacrificial system itself that Jeroboam had set up. He prophesied that a king named Josiah would come from the house of David, sacrifice the priests of the high places on that altar, and burn men's bones on it. This word is very solemn. God did not receive the altar Jeroboam had set up. Even though it was a king who set up the altar, and however many people sacrificed there, an altar that has departed from the law of sacrifice God ordained is a false altar before God. A great number of people does not make something the truth, and long continuance does not mean that God acknowledges it. It is the same today. Even if the church building is large, many people gather, and religious zeal looks fervent. If the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not at the center, it is not the faith God receives. If the truth is not proclaimed that Jesus took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death, the conscience of man cannot be saved from sin. The splitting of the altar shows the judgment of false faith. The man of God spoke a sign. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 3. Just as that word said, the altar was split apart, and the ashes were poured out. This was a clear sign that God had not received Jeroboam's sacrifice. Jeroboam's altar was outwardly an altar of sacrifice. There was the burning of incense, and there were religious acts, but God split that altar apart. This shows that a sacrifice offered in a place that is not the way God has ordained cannot stand before God. The mark of false faith is that it looks similar to true faith. Jeroboam did not create an entirely foreign religion. He seemed to speak of God, and he made his feast similar to the feast of Judah. But its inside was different from the law of sacrifice God had ordained. So the scripture says, this thing became a sin. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 30. Today, too, there is a faith that speaks of the cross and speaks of Jesus, yet leaves out the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If one does not speak of the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross, he cannot explain how sin was passed on to Jesus. When the truth that sin was passed on to Jesus is missing, the cross cannot fully reveal its original meaning as the judgment of sin. That is why such a faith cannot actually remove the sin of the heart. The way of salvation God has ordained is clear. Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the punishment of those sins on the cross, and completed the salvation by rising again from death. The altar of any faith that has departed from this gospel of the water and the Spirit, however splendid it looks, can only be split apart before God. The withered hand shows the powerlessness of the authority that opposed the word. Jeroboam heard the words of the man of God and did not repent. Instead, he stretched out his hand and said, "Arrest him!" He did not try to take hold of the word of God. He tried to seize the man who delivered the word of God. Then his hand withered so that he could not pull it back again. This withered hand shows the powerlessness of human authority that opposes the word of God. Jeroboam was a king. He was a man of power standing over the 10 tribes of northern Israel. But before the word of God, his hand had no strength at all. When God makes it wither, even the hand of a king cannot move. Today as well, there are those who oppose the gospel of the water and the Spirit, holding fast their own doctrines, traditions, and organizations. They do not accept the righteousness of God accomplished through the baptism Jesus received, the cross, and his resurrection from death. In men's eyes, their authority may look great, but the hand that opposes the word of God withers in the end. It has no power to save souls. When his hand withered, Jeroboam asked the man of God to pray for him. When the man of God entreated the favor of the Lord, his hand was restored. But Jeroboam did not truly turn back through that event. He wanted the hand of his flesh to be restored, but he did not try to correct the way of his heart. This is also the image of many religious people today. People want their diseases healed, their affairs to prosper, and their material difficulties solved. But they may have no interest in having the sins of their hearts washed away by the gospel of the water and the Spirit. More important than solving the problems of the flesh is that the sin of the conscience disappear. To believe the truth that Jesus took our sins upon himself by his baptism, was judged on the cross, and rose again from death, this is the true restoration. The sin that does not turn back brings destruction. The end of 1 Kings chapter 13 shows Jeroboam's stubbornness. After this event, he did not turn from his evil way. The altar had split apart, the ashes had poured out, and he had seen his own hand wither and be restored. Yet he continued to make priests of the high places from ordinary people. Whoever wished, he made him a priest of the high places. Not turning back even after God showed fearful signs, this was Jeroboam's sin. He did not return to the law of sacrifice God had ordained. He did not give up the religious system he had made to keep his own kingdom. In the end, this thing became sin to the house of Jeroboam, and his house was cut off and destroyed from the face of the earth. Here we must look at the faith of today. If a person hears the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained, and yet does not turn from his own doctrines, that is the same stubbornness as Jeroboam's. A faith that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the blood of the cross. A faith that claims to be saved while sin remains in the heart. And a faith that tries to wash away sin with prayers of repentance and efforts of sanctification are not the way of the remission of sin that God has ordained. Whoever believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit has no sin in his conscience. This is not because his deeds are perfect. It is because when Jesus received baptism from John, all our sins were passed on to him. And he received the judgment of those sins on the cross and accomplished the perfect salvation by rising again from death. The one who believes this is the righteous before God. The true altar is built on the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The altar God receives is not the altar of the golden calves that man has made, nor is it the altar of a religion built on human fear and calculation. The altar God receives is the faith built on the word of salvation that God has ordained. The law of sacrifice of the Old Testament was directed toward the gospel of the water and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Laying hands on the sacrificial offering to pass on sin and having its blood bear the judgment showed in advance that Jesus would take our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John and would be judged on the cross. Therefore, the faith that believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the completion of the true sacrifice. Believers must depart from the altar of Jeroboam. We must turn away from a religion made to hold people fast, from a half-teaching that leaves out the baptism of Jesus and speaks only of the cross, and from a religion that makes material blessing and worldly success the center of faith. We must return to the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained. 1 Kings chapter 13 asks us, before which altar are we standing? Are we standing on the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God has ordained, or before the altar of Bethel made by human thoughts and fears? We must not build our faith on the false altar that God splits apart. Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself by receiving baptism from John, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and justified us by rising again from death. Only the faith that believes in this gospel of the water and the Spirit is the true faith God receives. Standing on this truth, we must discern the false altars of this age and boldly preach the way of salvation that God has ordained.